All right, welcome to our Saturday morning podcast. Oh, the camps are open, college football's around the corner, and Bruce Feldman is a Fox Sports college football reporter, a writer for The Athletic, which is worth your money, New York Times best-selling author. So here we go, Bruce. Dabo Swinney this week said the grind of the SEC for Alabama is overstated. I actually think it's a very good conference, the SEC, but there's a lot of dysfunction. Florida, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Auburn, you know, finding the right coach, off-field stuff. I kind of believe what Dabo says. SEC is really, really, really good, but it's overstated. Is it fair to say that?
Yeah, I think it can be both things. I think it can be the best conference, but I also think there is some truth to that. I mean, when you look at, first of all, the biggest thing that makes the SEC the best conference is Alabama. Alabama doesn't have to play Alabama.
Right.
So after you take that out of the equation, you know, you get Texas A&M, which has been pretty good, but not great in a long time. You know, you have LSU, which Alabama's had their number. I think they're the second most talented team in the West. And then you have Auburn, which is all over the map. And the Mississippi schools are okay, but not great. And then, you know, it's like they'll get Georgia probably in the SEC title game, but it's not. I don't think when you look at it, especially with their non-conference
yes.
schedule factored in,
yes.
their non-conference schedule is putrid right now. Duke, New Mexico State, Southern Miss, Western Carolina, those are four cupcakes. I mean, there's no way around that. So for anybody who's looking at it going, they have, I don't want to call it a cakewalk to the SEC title game, but it's about as manageable as it could get because they get LSU at home. You know, you look at who knows what state Auburn's going to be in at the end of the year. I mean, Gus Malzahn's on the hot seat. I just think it's a very, very manageable path. And again, I think it is the best league, but because Alabama's in there. When you take Alabama off Alabama, let's be realistic, it's not the NFL right now.
Yeah, and I mean, Alabama also has generally a bye week mixed in with their four cupcakes because the SEC only plays eight games. So he does a good job of manipulating the schedule. I think it was in year four at Alabama, Saban lost three games. And from that point, he made a decision. I'm not going on the road out of conference. I'll go neutral once a year. And I think he's made a real decision after he lost, I think it's three games in year four, to soften up his out-of-conference schedule. Plus, he has a bye in there. So I think it's overstated. By the way, last 3 years, only one SEC team has a winning record. This may have been on your tweet or somebody's. Only one SEC team, Alabama, has a winning record against top 25 teams. Now, there's only one ACC team that does, and that's Clemson. But we always bang on the ACC, and we elevate the SEC. So there you go. Let's shift to Jim Harbaugh. He says competitors should want to play in bowl games. Now, we know, Bruce, there's sort of a elevation of the modern athlete over the last 10 to 15 years. They have more power. They make more money. Does he have a point, though, that it does, on the construct of a team, having stars not play a final bowl game is not great going forward for college football?
Oh, I think he definitely has a point, but we're in a different reality right now than what it was when he certainly played. And I think Jim Harbaugh, you know, when you remember, look, two of his best players did not play in that Florida game, and they really got it taken to them. And I think so, you know, look, the big thing we see in coaching is it's a self-preservation business.
Yeah.
So I think while there's some, you know, there's merit to it, and I think, you know, this falls into the old school versus new school. I mean, look, Jalen Smith, great linebacker at Notre Dame, had a really bad injury, and in the bowl game, there's a bunch of players you can go back and look and say, man, that was that worth the risk? And I know there's insurance business and everything like that, but at the same point, you know, I can see why some players, especially at certain positions, why they may not play in the bowl game. But, you know, ultimately, I think we're just going to see more of this no matter what Jim Harbaugh says about it.
Well, and the bowl games have been to some degree a money grab. We got like 45 of them. There's about 8 to 12 that have real meaning and real tradition and real history. So I could see a running back saying, listen, I've given you 352 carries for 4 years. I'm not playing in the, you know, whatever bowl. That part I get. If we had quarterbacks dumping out of games, I think you'd have a crisis. But I almost think running backs, you know, analytics have hurt centers in the NBA. Analytics are hurting running backs in the NFL. I think it's the running back, I kind of sense this. They want to sign early in the NFL. They want to bail early in college. Could it be more of a position thing?
You would think that, but look, Greedy Williams didn't play in the bowl game against UCF, and Devin White, who's in the middle of it as a middle linebacker, did. You know, I think it comes down to, and look, a lot, I think some of these guys, people can read, you know, NFL personnel can read certain things into it. I think where we'll have a bigger discussion is if and when a kid sits out a playoff game, because what has happened in this playoff era is, and I don't totally agree with this, but I think there's some truth to it, that it has devalued every other bowl game. You know, as much as I love the Rose Bowl, we're out here in Southern California. It's an awesome venue. It's got the best history. And last year was a fascinating matchup with Urban Meyer's last game, you know, Dwayne Haskins versus a, you know, a terrific Washington secondary. All that being said, almost every other bowl game feels even more like an exhibition. And unless you're a gambler or a diehard fan of those schools, the meaning isn't there. So it's like, you know, you kind of shrug your shoulders if a West Virginia kid isn't playing in his bowl game, whatever bowl game it is. You know, once it starts to get into the playoff, and it will not shock me when this happens, when some kid makes, quote-unquote, a business decision, and maybe he will do it under the guise of he's just not 100%, and it doesn't really come out that, and then there'll be whispers around the combine about what was the real truth to it. But that's going to happen, I think, at some point, and then we're really going to get a bigger, you know, a bigger argument about it. But again, I think it reflects back to not just the day and age of where we are with athletes and, how savvy they are with their careers and their futures, but I think it also comes back to this bowl system of what we have with the playoff and how it's devalued it.
Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports college football reporter. All right, your sleeper playoff contender, who do you have?
I don't know if they're that much of a sleeper anymore, but I'm going to say Utah. You look at it, Kyle Whittingham told me this is the best defensive line he's ever had. That is saying something. They have a big, big-time running back in Zach Moss. You get two quarterbacks who've played a lot. They're really physical, and the schedule sets up very well for them. I think they are a dangerous team. They're really well coached. Also, Whittingham is very excited about bringing back Andy Ludwig, who was his offense coordinator, and the last time he worked there, they beat a Nick Saban Alabama team in a bowl game.
Okay. What team do you see having a disappointing season?
You know, when I look at how much hype is kind of fostering about certain places, I'm okay. I'll roll the dice here on a Michigan and think they're going to be really, really good. The one I think maybe to pump the brakes on, at least a little bit for me, is Oklahoma. You know, back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners, it's awesome what Lincoln Riley was able to do there with those quarterbacks. I just think they lost four offensive linemen, you know, from what was a terrific offensive line. I think that they're still going to be really good. I just think it's hard to keep catching lightning in a bottle like that.
I think USC, 7-8 years ago, you could have made an argument, maybe 10 years ago, it was the number one brand in college football with Pete Carroll. I think Clay Helton will be fired at some point at the either late in this season or immediately after the season. I think their early schedule is brutal. I think they have a pretty average staff. I think they're unsettled at quarterback. And I think their best group, wide receivers, that group going into a season. I have questions about both lines, especially the O-line. What do you think happens at USC this year?
I think they will be quite a bit better. I really like the hire of Graham Harrell. Love the receiver core. And when you go out there and see them in person, especially when you're like looking at all the, you know, they were just 5-7, you're like, whoa, I forgot they had this, you know, they had this much talent there when you eyeball it. The problem is, I think he needs to go to the playoff, I think, being realistic, to save his job. He goes 9-3. People are going to go, oh, yeah, that's a four-game improvement. I don't think that's going to be enough, because think about it. If you're a USC fan and you find out that they went 9-3, maybe even go 10-3 and win a bowl game, do you really have that much confidence that Clay Helton Are all of a sudden, is it like every time it's a referendum on Clay Helton? What is it going to take for this fan base that felt like, and a lot of people within the athletic community there, and I'm talking about power brokers, feel like, you know what, he should not still be the head coach right now.
Right.
And they almost want to rip the Band-Aid off, and I think some of them would rather have him go 5-7 again.
But
9-3 is not going to solve it. It's just going to be more of the same, I think. And by the way, they're in a really mediocre Pac-12 South with most of the division is either had a coaching change this year or last year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they had their worst recruiting year in a decade last year. They are off to a horrible recruiting start where many of the best players have already been poached out of California. And, you know, again, their schedule is rough at Washington, at Notre Dame. Those are really, really tough games for even a top five team to win. I have real reservations about the direction of the program. Now, let's talk Chip Kelly at UCLA. I don't think they're a top 25 team. They beat USC at the end of last year. Not a ton of recruiting momentum. Has the sport caught up to Chip Kelly's kind of niche specialty, speed?
I don't think it has. And I'll use this example. Similar thing in the Pac-12. Mike Leach came back to college football after being away a couple of years. And he took over a worse situation than Chip Kelly did. But they sputtered the first couple of years. And a lot of people said, oh, yeah, the football world is caught up to Mike Leach's system. And what's happened? Give him a little time. He, you know, once the players figure out and his staff figures out exactly what he wants, Washington State just won 11 games for the first time in school history. And by the way, he did it without any top 30 or 40 recruiting classes. I think with Chip Kelly, you have a guy who is just smarter and probably more beholden to what he believes than most coaches. And I think he's not worried about what the recruiting guys say. You know, I've had conversations with him about, you know, the recruiting side of things. And when you hear him, I mean, he is really talking, you know, subscribes to much of a Bill Belichick mold, which is he puts a premium on guys who he feel like are smart football guys who he can count on. And sometimes those guys are not the guys who light it up and get all the stars. And I think that was a problem, quite honestly, that UCLA had at the end of Jim Mora, where they got caught chasing stars and had a lot of kids who looked the part, who really didn't love football or just didn't kind of fit in, and it got sideways there. And once Josh Rosen left, I think it got even worse. And I think when you look at how much better they got, this is UCLA, because we had that USC game from the end of the year to the beginning of the year, and now from where they are in the spring, I think they're going to be actually pretty good. Now, I think pretty good may only be like 7 wins, but considering where they were a year ago, that's saying something. And most of the best players in this program, with the exception of Darnay Holmes, who's a really big-time defensive back, they're all younger players. So I think they're going to get some momentum. Now, their schedule is pretty rough. I mean, they got Oklahoma coming in. They have a really good Cincinnati team they have to play on the road. But I think this is a team that's going to get some momentum. And much like his protege, Scott Frost, at Nebraska, I think you looked at a really rough start because there's a big cultural shift, and they have got it going, and I think they're building on it. And I wouldn't pay that much attention to the recruiting rankings and look at it as all doom and gloom in this case.
Okay, I'm going to give you 4 or 5 teams. Give me a sentence. You're writing a column. Give me your lead in 30 seconds on all 4 of these teams going into the season. Tennessee Volunteers.
Desperately need to get to a bowl game. The patience will get really thin. He's recruited really well on the offensive line, but Tennessee can't afford to have back-to-back no bowl seasons. When you're recruiting against Georgia and now Clemson and Dabo, that the Dabo dynamic was not that way in the recruiting region they work in when Phil Fulmer was winning all those games.
Wisconsin.
Jonathan Taylor is a great player, but I think their schedule is really rough.
Yes.
I don't think they get close to 10 wins. Look at their schedule. It's rough. I think they're going to take a step back.
Notre Dame.
Really like Ian Book. Think they got some athletes. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great team. But as we saw last year, good got them to a playoff. It might again this year.
Miami Hurricanes.
schedule's really, really soft. They will be a mirage. They may win 9 games. They may even win 10 games, but they're not that good. They have big issues on offense. I think Manny Diaz is a really good coach, but they're about 2 or 3 years away from being a real legit top 15 team.
Ohio State.
I'm a believer in Justin Fields. Saw him a lot when he was, coming up. I think he's super talented.
That's the quarterback transfer.
Yeah, quarterback transfer from Georgia. He may be even more talented than Trevor Lawrence. A lot of smart quarterback people saw them both and thought it was 1 and 1A. That's how good he is. I think Ryan Day is going to continue everything because he kept a lot of the key components of that program from Urban Meyer. But, sooner or later, they're going to lose to Michigan. I think this may be that year.
Finally, Bruce, Oregon-Auburn Week 1. It's gigantic for Oregon. They've got NFL guys up front on the O-line, arguably the best college quarterback who will come out in the draft. Mario Cristobal can recruit, but they have not always been great game day coaches. They have really struggled on the road. Auburn-Oregon Week 1, who do you like?
I like Oregon. I think Auburn has you love this matchup. Auburn has a terrific D-line led by Derrick Brown.
Yes.
Like you said, Oregon, Mario Cristobal, former Alabama O-line coach, he has taken the blueprint from Nick Saban to try to build a bully in the Pacific Northwest. If Justin Herbert plays like a top 10 quarterback, and he's really talented, but sometimes he has not really shown up, like we had his bowl game against Michigan State, that's a big-time defense. They were really underwhelming. I don't think the skill talent is not what it was under Helfrich and Chip Kelly for the quarterback. But I still think that right now, Auburn has to replace a quarterback as well. And you look, Andy Avalos was the defense coordinator at Boise State. I think that was an underrated, really good hire from Oregon. I think Oregon will handle this because of how physical they have become in the trenches. And I think that maybe a difference compared to what happened last year when Washington really stubbed its toe in the red zone, and that set the Pac-12 back really. They need some big things to happen. I think this won't fix everything overnight, but I think this will be a big first step for the conference.
Yeah, I think Oregon I think Oregon can argue the best O-line in the sport and the best quarterback coming out. I think Utah has a nationally relevant defensive line, but the conference as a whole could use USC coming back in Washington, though young on defense, popping a little bit. Okay, Bruce Feldman, writer for The Athletic, Fox Sports college football reporter on a Saturday morning. We can't wait. Bruce, good talking to you.
Always good talking to football with you, Colin. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruce.